September 7th, 2021. It's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Show, happy Tuesday. We started off with John Coltrane doing the Jupiter Variation, Interstellar Space, Rashid Ali. Paper Mice after that with Don't Worry About the Governor. No pun rock, right? I remember that, what was it called, 77? Don't Worry About the Government?
Yeah, exactly.
And I noticed from the, well, people, you can tell probably that I'm not man alone. Because those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I've got the Paper Mice. Welcome aboard, Dave, John, Taylor.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, for real. It's good to be here.
And you're talking to me from Chicago?
Yes. Got it.
I was conceived there, born in Virginia, Portsmouth, but conceived. There's a Navy boot camp, right? A great shore.
Oh, damn.
Great shore. Yeah, and my pop was there learning how to be a machinist mate. My ma, they met at a YMCA before refugee for Hungary, and the Soviets went into Hungary, right? So, yeah, how you know? So who wants to go first? Because I want to get involved. I'm very curious about you guys, is how you got to be who you are. So why don't we start with your individual music journeys? So maybe I guess Dave is first, alphabetical.
Yeah, Dave, I think you should go first because I think the seeds of the band did start with you and Adam.
Dave?
Sure.
What about your earliest musical recollection? Please bring.
My earliest musical recollection is probably of my grandmother, my mother's mother, Eleanor. And she used to play piano all the time, and I would sit next to her at the piano.
My grandma's name was Eleanor, too, but we called her Mimi.
It is a great grandmother name.
Yeah.
And she used to sit at the piano and play Debussy and Chopin, and I'd sit next to her and try to copy what she was playing.
Is this in your pad or her pad?
This was at her place in Brooklyn. Although when she would come visit us, I'm from Long Island, New York, and when she would come visit us there, she would sit down at the piano and play, and I'd always sit next to her and try to copy what she was playing. And
no, but that's important. I mean, there's instruments in the pad that you were growing up.
Yeah, I actually, we'd go to visit her in Brooklyn, and after she passed away, I inherited her piano, and my mom had it shipped all the way out here to Chicago, and I have her piano, and it's like the most important of like the things that I own in my house.
But when you're a boy, so you didn't jump on it, you're sitting next to her and trying to copy. So there's two sets of hands on the keyboard?
You got it.
Okay, no, that's happening. I've seen fucking Sophistos do shit like that. So, what about, like, the first record you bought yourself?
Oh, man.
Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
No, I remember the first like, album I bought with my own money. I was in high school, like, probably freshman or sophomore in high school, and I bought Dr. Dre's The Chronic with my own money.
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you don't have a lot of money. That's why I asked that question. What about the first gig you saw, Dave?
I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8 years old. My parents took us to see the Monkees with Weird Al Yankovic opening.
Not as good as Jimmy opening. Maybe that was 20, 30 years before. What about school? Now you say you was playing with your grandma. Did she give you lessons, or did you have to go through the piano teacher thing?
You know, I took piano lessons all through my childhood.
How was the experience? Because I've had guests on the show, it almost made them hate music.
That's a pretty common experience. You know, when you get forced to do something, you don't want to do it. But I connected pretty quickly with my piano teacher, and I really enjoyed.
Think that's part of it, Dave? Like, the teacher is an important component. Maybe some people got better skills than others.
Yeah, I mean, she was very patient with me. You know, I always remember she'd bring out a new piece or a new book, and it was like opening presents on Hanukkah. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I got a new thing, and I'd be so excited to open the book and see what she had for me. And it was, you know, she was a great teacher, and I really, it wasn't until I stopped taking with her that I stopped playing piano because I didn't like the teacher I had after her.
See, yeah, that's what I think it is. I don't think it's act of lessons as much as like, you know, the one delivering the good time. What about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was in the concert band, and you had to be in the marching band if you wanted to be in the concert band. Yeah.
Every school is different. That's why I asked that shit. What instrument?
Well, I started on clarinet, and then I switched to saxophone when I was in, I think, the sixth grade, and I played saxophone. I actually went to college for saxophone.
Now, the fingering way different, right, because you got holes on the clarinet.
Say that again?
The fingering.
They're very similar. The upper register of the clarinet is like exactly the same as the fingerings on the saxophone.
Well, the octave's button's different, right? It's not really an octave, and there's holes that you have to cover up.
Exactly. It's an open-holed instrument, and the octave button, I think it's like a 12th button on the clarinet, whereas it's an octave button on the saxophone because they have different shaped bore.
Well, one came to the other because I've been to the Music Museum in Brussels, where they got mm-hmm. three Adolphus sax. It was named after dude, right? He used to be on the phone.
Yeah.
What do you call them, Belgian franc notes in the old days before euros. And, it came out of the clarinet, but they put the clarinet with the bassoon in the shit, but they wouldn't let in the sax because of the timbre, right?
Too loud and never in tune, well,
different tuning, because it works great with rock and roll and R&B and jazz.
Yeah.
But for the square Johns, nope. I try to explain to people why string basses look like giant violins without a chin part. It's to try to keep that timber shit going. Okay, so you even went to college for sax. Did you get a degree in it?
Yeah, I did an undergrad degree in saxophone. I did a master's degree in saxophone as well. And then I stopped. I don't really do much saxophone anymore. I also did a master's degree in music theory, and then I went on and did a doctorate in composition.
So the theory could be applied even bass guitar or drummers, right? I mean, so that's bitching. And so you put down that instrument. That's kind of sad, but still, it's like the way I'm looking at it is kind of like the pocket knife, right? The art's not in the knife as much as what's going to be carved with it. So if you trade that pocket knife for a butter knife, it might be a little more difficult, but if there's a will, there's a way, huh? Now, did you do any of the garage, bedroom, basement band stuff after school? Not graduating, but in the afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, I used to, in high school, I played in a garage band.
And what'd you play?
I played guitar. That's when I started playing guitar.
What made you jump to guitar? Because that's what you do in Paper Mice, right?
Yeah, I picked it up in the 10th grade, basically because I just wanted to start playing in bands, and I got a really crappy, like ESP metal guitar with, like, a pinkish, greenish, like,
of course you
I don't know, like, pearlescent thing. It was, like, I bought it from some kid at school, and, I played in a band, and we had a couple original songs. We were basically just playing covers, though.
Were you writing it?
Without writing the songs? I helped write some of them, yeah.
Okay, because...
But it was... I pretend that those songs don't exist.
No, but you ended up being a composer for the band, so I'm wondering where the roots of that is.
Well, in the band, we write our stuff together.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
That's great to know, because I come from the days of old fucked up hierarchy. But you know what a farmer would tell you? If you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So I say, bring it, motherfuckers. Okay, look, you guys gave me this. You gave me a lot of great music, but this is Fight Spider with Fire Some More Pun Rock.
No, not again. I swore this was behind me. When the thing appeared, the thing I feared that had to find me. I grabbed the weapon and stepped in the trap. I blinked and I reacted. Coming unafraid as I flambéed that damn arachnid. Shocked, I gawked as I reflected. Put the guy inside it. Hide it. Have it guided. Cause it's undeserved, I should be served with an indictment. Direct your acclamation to the arthropod that's yawking on the station. I despise everything they symbolize. So many feet, so many eyes. So why should I sympathize? Go on, surprise me. I dangle here defenseless, tangled in a web, unnatural consequences, punching everything as I was swinging for the fences. Left to spin the exclamation, and the way it floated, floated, nearly bursting with every myth I've folded, floated, and exploded. We'll be right back.
Smoking Sun!
Walk for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Paper Mice. Fight Spider with Fire. Pete Kane from his brand new album Slide. Very bitchin', very happening. People, check it out. Pete Kane. He's one half a Model Home. Victoria Shen with Unhanded after that. Bombas Prendon, brand new stuff. They recorded collaborating over the internet. Not trading files, but actually playing together. They put gaps in between the parts of the latency. Deal with that shit. She asked if she could smoke Lowlands from Devin Hoff and his new album. Graf from the Netherlands, Mountain of Knives, and Vuce. Oh, Wakuf. Yeah, it's a chilly guy living in the Netherlands, so I don't know. The W's probably okay. Pharaoh of the Pharynx, flavor of Tarantulas from James Twig Harper and Rubber O. Cement. Costume, what they call it, costume noise scene, I think. Mr. Rodriguez called it. Northern Jaw through that, Fields of Reed. Crab Dustin from La Flange de Mall, our buddy Chris Cones. Texas Shugo, Tokumaru with Green Rain. And finally, Paper Mice, taking the heat. No pun intended. No pun embedded. Okay, so. Well, we get up to you, Dave, all the way up to college, and you graduate with music, but you're not doing sax anymore. You didn't do any of your guitar in college.
Well, I played in bands all through college and grad school.
No, but I mean with the higher education.
No, no.
No, okay. It was more of your, like, fun thing.
Yeah, no, totally.
That's all right. That's all right. Who wants to go next?
I can go. This is John.
Hey, John. Earliest musical recollection, please.
I would say when the Muppets came on, my mom said I would run down naked and I would just flip out, and you know,
I still do that.
Yeah, that theme song is still badass. I mean, it's just, that brings it back for me.
Well, the drummer, that's, man, like, Animal, right?
Exactly, and I would say that Animal is an inspiration.
Yeah. Now, we know about Mr. Hansen, right? He dies of strep throat. So, people, don't be afraid of a little penicillin or vaccinations for that. Can you believe
that? I did not know that.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Well, what happens is there comes a tipping point where you just can't kill enough bugs because you become a bug factory, even in this day and age. So, yeah, don't wait too long. Strep throat almost got my sister. Peg, you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
When I was growing up, not really. My dad got my mom a piano, and I was not like Dave. I had no formal instruction, but I had a really good time, just exploring it.
Just pounding the shit out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I learned, is just by exploring.
Yeah. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think it was, I'm 42. So like when I was in seventh grade, like MTV was going strong and I was really into I was into Primus big time. So it was like,
that's Claypool. When I toured with them, they had Herb on the drum.
Yeah. The ginseng drummer. Yes.
you know what? He did a Dave Grohl for a while, played guitar and sang for something called Laundry.
Oh, no shit. I did not know that.
I would not shit you.
No shit at all. No, that's crazy. No.
What about the first gig you went and saw?
Okay, so this was, I'm kind of proud of this. My brother, I have two great brothers. One of my brothers took me to see Jawbreaker, Mudhoney, and Nirvana in 1993.
And in 1973, you know what my first gig was? Me and D-Boo went.
What?
T-Rex.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, everybody says that. You say you're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go on.
Yeah, so that was like 6 months before he died. And
you mean Kurt Cobain.
Yes, not my bro.
Yeah,
it was Kurt Cobain.
But that was
my
sad
brother,
too. He was a great kid.
Yes.
He was this great little kid. Little guy, kind of short.
I mean, he was
always 27. The last time I saw him, he goes to me, "Hey, Mike, it's good to see you." I said, "Good to see you too, Kurt." He said, "No, I mean really." Wow. It was a weird place he was in. He was talking to me about guns and shit. Sweet little guy. But totally a music man. He could have got into mariachi shit. You know what I mean? It's so tragic, that whole thing. What about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, I had kind of a unique path. I taught myself how to play drums.
Oh, bitchin'.
And so yeah,
what'd you do?
And then,
was it pots and pans, or did you get a kit right away?
It was like, at first it was pillows, and
yeah.
I was rocking the hell out of some pillows in my bedroom. But I got a kit when I was 14, and then I kind of worked backwards. Around the age of 20, after some bad jobs, I realized I did want to study music, but you can't really go to school unless you know you have some experience. But I found a school in Chicago where I could, do music school without all the previous background. It was a real good situation.
Yeah, so, look, man, Vincent started painting in his last 10 years. I want to get rid of this. Is one of the reasons I do this show. It's 20 years, 3 months now. You don't have to be a child prodigy. Mm-hmm. Joe Baez is 20, yeah. You know, Sacred Trust, 27 years old when he comes to guitar. He's a painter, man, right? He sees these other punk rockers. This is the 70s, right, in Hollywood. 2 years later, yeah. He's transcribing Charlie Parker. You know, it's never too late. It just never is too fucking late. I was talking to a guy from Taiwan, Paul Lai, yesterday, and he just got into it in his mid-20s. So you didn't go through any of the shit, junior high school, garage band, basement band?
Basement band, for sure.
Oh, I did? I thought you didn't.
You know, just on my own, but nothing formal until my 20s.
You know why it's called a trap set?
I don't, actually.
It's sort of brief, like the way I say Pedro.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we pronounce it wrong, and then we fucking cut it short, right? Well, they do. I came here when I was 9. I ain't from here, but I've been here 54 years. But anyway, contraption.
Oh!
It came from New Orleans. It's only 120 years old. Yeah, Larry Mullins sent me that shit, and it's short for contraption. So what school did you go to for music?
There's a school in Chicago called Northeastern Illinois, and it was super cheap, and I got my music ed degree from there.
Yeah.
And I've actually been teaching kids I'm in my 15th year. So yeah. I'm
what
a
about
teacher.
The teachers there? Good teachers in music?
Yeah. It's a real good situation where
I had somebody on the show a couple of weeks ago. They were talking about Berkeley and, you know, Massachusetts, and bad experience. Especially with the professors. I think it's all timing, and it's about people, really.
Yes.
Institutions, they can be kind of a structure, but it's about people, right? Everything almost, like 99% of the whole fucking enchilada. But that's okay, because that's the way it is. So I'm glad you went and did that. You know, Mark Cisneros, a drummer, well, he plays everything. He went and put himself in music school at 30 years old with all these kids running around. You know what I mean? My sister did the same thing, but with English, because she's cutting hair for 30 years and the scissors thing was killing her hand. The thing about going back to higher education, that's a personal loan mission. I have a lot of respect for that. So in 15 years of teaching, so that's beautiful. Okay, we got to go to the third guy now. John? Is it John?
Yeah. I'm Taylor.
No, it's Taylor now.
That's me.
Yeah, because we took care of John. We took care of Dave. Now, Taylor, earliest musical recollection, please.
I think it was probably riding around in my dad's Nissan Altima and listening to Bach and Handel and...
car radio?
Yeah, you always had, what's that?
Car radio? Cassette?
Yeah, he had a CD player. It was kind of like the early days of having a CD player in your car. And it was kind of exotic and flashy.
A lot of skip.
And he had a stack of classical CDs and
oh, they were selling changes that you would fucking fit under the seat.
and then they had ones that lasted
10 years. eight tracks was even shorter. That's what I went through. My Cream and my T-Rex was 8 tracks. Yeah, these cartridge. And they would just shut off and go to the next fucking thing, you know, 1/4 through the big loop. What about at your pad? Was there instruments?
Yeah, there was a baby grand piano that I took lessons. Like, my mom kind of taught me piano when I was really young. So I think starting from like age 8, and she kind of took me as far as she could go.
Yeah.
Kind of same thing with Dave, like where, you know, it was, you know, we were kind of playing unison. She was just showing me like basics of how to read and how to play folk tunes and stuff like that. And then at some point she kind of graduated me and found me a proper piano teacher.
And then what about the first record you bought with your own money?
It was actually, I got two cassettes, and it was Weird Al album and Queen, Classic Queen.
Okay, I see a common thread with Bohemian the paper mice. The common thread with the paper mice is Weird Al Yankovic.
I remember him.
He was a big dude on Dr. Demento. His first big hit was Another One Rides the Bus. You know, all the dude has to do is wait for other people to make hits and then up the words, right? Like, you guys just make fun of the word. All you got to do is reheat it, you know?
I think it's a big part of why humor is such an important part of our music, though, honestly.
Right. There's nothing wrong with humor. I think the, what was that group after the pop group? It was Rip Rig and Panic. They had a song called Knee Deep in Shit. And one of the lines was like, if Jesus would have laughed when he was crucified, his killers would have been terrified. You know, some shit like that.
Oh, damn. That's awesome.
Check it out. It's from like the 1979, 1980, something like that. It's got a monkey, a picture of a monkey from National Geographic that's just about to get bit by the leopard, killed. So you're seeing the last second in his eyes of impending death. So they call the island God. Okay, enough of that. Yeah. Well, pop group had a big effect on Minutemen. Jesus Christ. The idea of putting Captain Beefheart with Funkadelic. I mean, why didn't somebody think of that before? Okay, so now what about first gig you saw?
The first show I saw, I went with my dad. So, yeah, my dad was kind of a common thread for a lot of my early musical experiences. I went with my dad. It was like a package gig at a big arena in Chicago, the local like alternative radio station. This was a little later in my childhood when I started getting into really terrible alternative 90s rock.
Your first gig is your first gig, so don't worry about the context.
Yeah, the bands I remember were Oasis and Fiona Apple and Bush. Bush was the band.
I was helping the Porno for Pyro guys in that moment. I remember those. Like K Rock, Weenie Rose, fucking pay to play.
Yes.
Bullshit corruption.
Yes.
Yeah, but my heart pleads pink lemonade for the industry. Fuck it. Look, we're going to have to continue, Taylor, because I run out of time in the first hour. September 7, 2021, Dish Wapito Show, special guest Paper Mice. Hold tight for hour two. September 7, 2021, it's the second hour of Wapito Show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Paper Mice. Fight Fire with Firearms. Ben Salter from Tasmania. Bad Luck. Rice Corpse. That's Lucas Abella, two guys from China. Resurrection Man. Raul Orkenheim Ecstasy. He was on last week. No Delay. Live. Car Thief School from Hokkaido. Part of Japan. Yesterday, brand new. And finally, Paper Mice. For the Birds. Again, no pun. I don't understand, but
Mike, pun's not dead.
Okay, well, it's dead in that title. But actually, you just want to make sure we're awake, and we always know it's going to be a pun. We're going to go back to cruise control, so you're smart to do that shit. Okay, much respect. Back with Tay and his journey. So what about the marching band, choir, shit at school? Did you do any of that?
Well, yeah, throughout elementary and high school, I kept with piano lessons, and I started playing in bands in middle school.
About the actual school programs.
No, none of that. Not at all.
Okay, because, you know, some cats I asked, there was no program. They got rid of that shit.
No, yeah, I went to school, actually, where John is teaching now in Evanston, just outside of Chicago, and they had really good music program.
Oh, okay, but you just weren't interested, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tried, but after 10 weeks, his name was Mr. Luna. Mr. Watt, you try hard, but you know you should stop. This is in front of the whole class, right? Wasting your time and my time, and he looked at the class, our time. So, like, yeah.
Wow.
Luckily, I met D. Boone soon after.
Yeah.
I lost faith. But maybe I was shitty. I was on the liquor stick, you know, and I was trying. Like he said, I tried hard. Okay. What about the garage? Well, how'd you jump on what you're doing now?
Playing in bands, playing bass.
Yeah.
Again, it comes to my.
You're
it comes
of
back
the left
to my,
hand, left hand of the piano.
It comes back to my dad. So I mean, there was this transition moment. I listened to a lot of classical music as a young kid, and then I think because my parents were kind of hounding me, they wanted me to be cool, so they actually kind of pushed me into listening to alternative and rock music and. My dad was a guitarist and had guitars and basses around. And, I showed some curiosity in bass, and the first memory of bass was him showing me the bass line to a Pearl Jam song in the attic of our house.
Jeff Emmett gave me a bass. He, Mike Lowe made him one of those weird, freaky EBs that the early 70s, late 60s to cut money, but he put those Mike Lowe pickups in. I keep it at Casahanzo. It's really good sounding. And he's such a sweet guy. Grew up in a real little town in Montana. Did you figure out the connect between the left hand of the piano, which you had been doing, you know, since you were a kid with your ma, and the bass guitar?
I don't know if I was honestly like kind of smart enough or had enough musical intuition to kind of make that connection. I think to me they were totally separate universes, especially because there was such a gap in the styles, you know, like
genre, the big enemy of music, genre. Fuck yeah. That Berlin yeah. Wall gulag shit. I'm yeah, really but, sick of fucking genre. I think that's why us punk rockers like to wear funny outfits, because it was just such a joke. The idea of like, well, it's a marketing, it's a shortcut on the marketing device. Yeah. Yeah, fucked it. So anyway, I didn't mean to get all self-righteous on that. It's your story, your music. Did you get into the fucking garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Yeah, I met a good friend of mine who I'm still in touch with, and he kind of pulled me in. He was looking for someone to play bass in his garage band that was playing in his mom's basement, and we played, you know, I learned Ramones cover. That's where I learned really to.
Well, you know, he wrote the song. Didi wrote most of the songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He even wrote them after they kicked him. Anyway, he quit the band because Johnny kicked beating the fuck out of him. But you know what I love to hear is you got into the bass, because all the other guys on bass, they always said, yeah, somebody needed them, like your buddy. But you actually got on the bass because you had it laying around in your pad, and your pop said, yeah, try it. I like that a lot. Look, you guys yeah. gave me this, It's Your Funeral. No pun, but it's still a bitchin' song. Let's listen.
There's nothing wicked about him. Why would
should you doubt him? We should go on without him. It's a cruel, unusual joke. Is it me or does someone smell smoke? A fire's raging. Can't you see all this? Innocent man sits there brokenhearted, waiting for something no one started. Dancing, some tension. While I'm approaching a bench I mentioned, with the tenderness of intention. It's a miracle, it's amazing, it's unlikely but feasible. Here from the hot seat, it might not seem that unbelievable.
Since November. Okay, people, that chunk of music started Paper Mass. It's Your Funeral. The Legriskis with the Day. Manuel Armida, Northwest Territory, Yellowknife, right? But he's actually from New Mexico City, Tan Girls. Al Margolis out of Chester, New York. Alto Sax Voice, finally Trial by Fire. Yeah, more of that. Motif. Paper Mice. So how does the Paper Mice thing come? I'm hearing about three guys all fucking educated on piano first, and then gravitating into their own little music trips. But somehow this ensemble developed. How?
Well, I guess it started. Our original bassist Adam and I, we had a band together back in Ann Arbor, Michigan, called The Teeth. No relation to the Pennsylvania band The Teeth. And we both moved to Chicago and decided to kind of keep making music together and start a band, and we met up with John under very interesting circumstances. And then, Adam moved to California, and that's when we started playing with Taylor.
You're telling me Paper Mice actually didn't start in Chicago?
Well, Paper Mice itself started in Chicago, but Adam, our original bass player, and I were playing together in a band outside of Chicago first. And then
it wasn't called Paper Mice, it was called something else.
It was called The Teeth, yeah.
The Teeth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a different band. I wasn't playing guitar. I was just singing in that group, yeah.
Okay, so you guys moved to Chicago, and then what, you stopped playing together, and then that's how you meet?
So Adam and I got together and started writing music, you know, trying to write songs and trying to find a drummer. Okay. And then somebody that I taught with, I was teaching at Columbia College Chicago at that time, teaching music theory. And one of my fellow teachers there was John's roommate at the time. And
small world.
And I don't know how he heard that I was trying to find a drummer, but apparently he spoke to John, and I was passing him on the staircase one morning. He goes, "Hey, I think I might know someone who wants to play music with you." And I was like, "Wait, what? Like, I didn't even know you knew I was starting a band, you know?" And He put me in touch with John, and
he's the guy who has to be interviewing you because he doesn't need words. He just reads your mind.
Nice.
So what was the first Paper Mice prac like?
Like with John, with the whole band?
Yeah, you three guys.
John, you want to answer that one?
Yeah. It was exciting because I'd never played, I would say, that type of technical stuff before, and I had a really good fun time learning it. The first song I learned was called Meal of Steel. It's about a guy who ate a bunch of metal and like had all this stuff stuck in his stomach. And Dave can tell you a story better than I can, but it has a middle part that is very like crazy. The song's only a minute long. And as soon as I learned it, Adam and Dave looked at each other like, oh yeah, we're good.
Well, so, well, how did they deliver the teaching? How did they teach it to you? Did they just play it for you and you could just whoop
up? Yeah, I think they probably sent it to me, beforehand. Cause I mean, it was like to get started, like they had a couple of songs in the can ready to go. And then after I learned a few, then we started writing more together. So it wasn't like, John, here's all the songs, learn them. It was like, that's how it was in probably two songs.
So these demos, what were these demos, just bass and guitar? Did they have a drum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were just, right, Dave? I don't think there were any drums on them.
I don't remember making demos. I thought we just taught them to you in the space, but you'd probably remember better than I would.
That's totally possible. I thought you might have sent them via email or something, but.
Okay, what about the first Paper Mice gig?
That was at the Fireside Bowl.
Yeah, that was at a great, great classic venue where a lot of punk shows happened. Fireside Bowl, yeah.
And how was it? Was it a success? They throw shit?
Yeah. I was so tired. I was playing so hard, and I remember we played probably six or seven songs, and like that was it. Like I don't think we had that much material, but we played.
Well, Paper Mice songs are kind of short, especially the older ones, right?
Yeah.
So what was the 10-minute gig?
Dave, am I right? I mean, we.
I think wasn't it like June 9th, and you kept saying you wanted to have nine songs, nine on the 9th. I remember.
Okay. There you go.
So I remember nine songs.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
The logic guy in the band. All right. The significance monitor. the totem teller. But people dug it, or did you dig it? Were you scared?
No, I think people were digging it. I think it was
well.
A
sometimes
total release.
You know, success isn't the people digging it, right?
Yeah,
I think if you're in the Stooges.
Yeah,
success is of like how much shit they are throwing, I guess. Okay. Personally, were you scared? Because I still get scared for gigs.
I was not. I was just so excited. I wanted to do it, but I was not scared.
What about you, Dave?
I was a little bit like, I was a little shaky because I felt like, you know, I felt like the project was really personal and I really wanted people to get it the way that I felt like we had, you know, like conceived of it. Yeah. And so like, I was like nervous about like, you know, that any piece not being like right in place would cause the whole thing to crumble, you know? So I was like really like, really hypercritical of ourselves. I really wanted it to be perfect, you know.
Responsible man.
But that made it really hard to play shows because like you know
we're all uptight and shit. Yeah.
Beat myself up about it over after the shows, you know.
Right. But that's why you do gigs, right? Because that's the real prac. There's the other prac, but then gig prac. Yeah. People were at the end of the second hour, September 7, 2021. Just Watt Peters for special guest Paper Mice. Hold tight for hour three. September 7, 2021, it's third hour of Watt Pedro Show.
I bet you're one.
senses. Hail majestic corporate light, with a coat of arms and human rights. I'm in the system,
touch too much. Onward and upward. Lined up, the flock in shock, gathered to witness. They mass, they lambast my vast disaster re-scapping. Soon the flood is relentless. They crowd in the views, acting loud and abusive. They shot me a ton. I've begun to resent this.
So third hour, start off the regular guy, Paper Mice, and it's I was enlightened to the subject matter, and it's a little messy. Plasterman out of Ithaca after that. The one in New York, not Greece. Paper Trail. You know, that kind of goes with you guys' tune, right? Especially if it's stuck to the bottom of his fucking shoe. He's coming out of the head. Carl 2000 after that, all of them, in parentheses. Brand new from the Suns with two U's. Third stream, who would leave their son out in the sun? Have a Nice Life. Is that a band name? Have a Nice Life. Okay. And Paper Mice, finally, Fresh Coat. There's a pun there somewhere, but that one's way buried. I know it. So Paper Mice, like the album I've been playing all year, I played it all, but when Howie, by the way, people, we got to give credit to Howie Reeve for making this connect. Because I wouldn't know Paper Mice without this, because I'm such a fucking ignorant slow learner. But he turned me on to their album, and I've been playing it all until I played it all out. And then this new thing here. Tell me about recording the first one versus recording this one that I got right now.
Taylor.
Bring it, Tate.
Yeah, I don't know what recording the first one was like. That was done at Semaphore, is that right, John and Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, let me just ask real quick. Are you looking at the most recent album, 1-800 Mondays?
You flowed me all these tunes. I don't know exactly which record.
That's okay. We'll just give you a rundown of the recording.
I just know it's newer than the shit I played before.
Yeah. Well, so, I'm deferring to Taylor because he actually engineered our most recent record that came out a couple months ago.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
But he said a studio Semaphore, so it's somebody else's studio, but you go in and you work the knobs?
The first record was recorded at a professional studio in Chicago that closed, I think, 10 years ago or so. That was Semaphore. The second record was recorded at the school that John's was working at. It was recorded in the gymnasium of that school.
Whoa.
And then this is the third record. The third record is 1-800 Mondays, which came out in May 2021, and
that's
where
most of these songs are from.
Yeah, I sent you except for "Don't Worry About the Governor." Everything is from this album.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for
validating
instead of the ignorant motherfucker in Pedro who don't know his ass from a hole in the ground. So thanks for checking me out there. Okay, so only the first song was older. Okay, you know what? Yeah. You could tell the consistency of the sound in a way, you know, but. my pop said that the way they spelled that word assume was not an accident. So I didn't want to do that. Yeah, he thought it was magical stuff, you know. Yeah, it wasn't spelled that way for nothing. Yeah, okay, Pop. So, and how long did it take?
Well, the most recent record we recorded it. So I work at Electrical Audio, Steve Albini's studio.
That's where
Chicago
recorded The Weirdness.
That's right. Yeah,
so
they did.
I spent a week there. Were you working there when I conked there for a week with the cats?
That was, I think that was maybe 6 months or a year before I started there.
2006.
I would have loved it. What year was it?
2006.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was way before I started there.
Okay.
I started as an intern. I started there 7 years ago, and then I started working on a paid basis 6 years ago. So yeah.
Did you wear the boiler suit?
What's that?
The boiler suits. Albini gets all his guys in a boiler suit. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that. I don't actually wear the boiler suit just because. Well, for two reasons. It's terribly hot. Which is nice in the winter, but in the summer it's just sweltering. I also, everyone, you know, when they get hired on, they get two jumpsuits that get silk screened with the Electrical logo. And I ordered a 44, and I should have ordered a 44 long. So my sleeves go up to about my
elbows.
midway between my elbows.
All right. So what about the production? Is Steve Albini involved?
No, Steve wasn't involved. I did all the recording and mixing. We recorded it there, and then I did most of the bulk of the mixing at my little home studio room that I'm sitting in right now, and then we brought it back to Electrical just to kind of check mixes and finalize everything.
We did all the
recording in, was it 2 days? And then it was kind of a big pandemic project. Mixing it was a big pandemic project for me. Like it kind of got me through the first few months of lockdown. Yeah.
Music's a lifeline. I love it. The Cynic Route. I'm gonna play that.
It was wrong, I admit it. I won't lie and pretend. We were drunk when we did it, or that we won't try it again. In the city, there's a bridge we're not allowed to walk across. So I convened a committee to help us finally shed the albatross. Slow down, take a minute. Pump the brakes, don't make a fuss. Think how I feel.
Come here. di tengo padre, me tengo coca, di tengo cola, por tengo casa, di tengo cama, me tengo burger. Thank you.
by the sea, the debris never ceases. Washing up, it never ever decreases. It's a mystery that's left us in pieces. As the mystery grew, it accrued and it never abated. Never even slightly biodegraded. So while everybody sat there and waited hopelessly, we never stopped looking. It never stopped piling up. We never stopped looking. Lifetimes. We play while the cast away, cast astray, floating, waiting for the right time. Dog-eared, disappeared, antiquated icons. Forgotten, cast away, cast astray. We'll be stuck here in a rut till the day we get a look at what time we're passing.
Pedro, your last music for this edition. We had Paper Mice, The Cynic Route, then The Confinement of the Quarks from Tropical Fuckstorm, Chica Libre, The Hunger Song, Samuel Locke Ward, No Fight, No Fuss, Circle the Drone, Ray Shin, Burning for You, Brother Phil doing the Oyster Coat cover, but he calls himself Mountain Offensive, and this is the Scalded Eight version. 60 fires out in the West here, a lot of them in Cali. Paper Mice with 1-800-MONDAYS. Looks like a phone number.
That's the joke.
Okay. No pun, but I guess if you dial that, you find out. So, earlier in the show, you talked about the songwriting process for Paper Mice.
Yeah.
Does somebody carry a notebook around of words so there's always like a kind of a well you can draw from, or is everything written to order? Are songs built on jams, riffs?
So we kind of usually will just get together and start playing and see what comes out. Occasionally someone will bring something in, but usually we'll just start playing, and I'll record when we get something good, and then we'll just have something we call the riff graveyard, where it's just like a repository of old recordings of us playing that we could always draw from for stuff. But the lyrics usually we have a repository of song ideas. All of our songs are based on real news events, weird events from the news, and so
topical.
We kind of keep a
topical. I was going to ask you about lyrics in Paper Mice, because they seem really kind of all the music, and I love the interplay. You guys got a three-way conversation going that's fucking bitching, but it does seem like you are celebrating the comedy of the words.
Yeah, you know, the we try to find like news stories that are weird or quirky or bizarre, or and then, you know, put a lot of time and thought into try to making the lyrics funny, and, you know, a lot of puns in there. And
so how do you do that? Do all three guys work on the words together?
We used to do it that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, to varying degrees. I think we'll try to make some headway on the lyrics kind of once we have like the skeleton of the musical skeleton of a song, we'll try to make some headway on the lyrics. Of late, it's kind of been Dave has been doing a lot of that work outside of practice. And then we'll, you know, if we have any silly ideas or, you know, stuff, ideas for direction or anything, then we'll talk it over at band practice. But it's collaborative, but Dave's been doing more of the legwork on the lyric writing.
There was 5 or 6 Minutemen songs where me and D. Boone tried to, like, okay, you write one line, I'll write the next one. Now you write the one after that. And that was tough. That was tough.
Did you like that method?
Well, like I said, there was only 5 or 6, and there must be a couple.
Right.
It was just, you know, that's why I was curious on how you guys collaborate on lyrics. It's like trying to dream by committee. But, I, you know, why not? There's a will, there's a way, right? And then what about music-wise as far as the drums go? Does any songs ever start with the drums?
Yeah, they can. I would say, like, because our songs are very much chopped up, and you can tell that they kind of come from a, like, we'll start with a bigger groove idea, and we, in practice, we're repeating it a ton. We're like, okay, we really like that, but we sculpt it down, you know, and make it smaller sections. And so our forms are the thing that kind of take the time, and they develop over many practices. But yeah, for sure, songs will come from a bass riff, because they'll come from a drum beat. Never really from a vocal thing, though. They start with the music.
Well, yeah, Dave was saying the lyrics usually come last, and actually the last is probably the title, right?
Yes.
Not with what? You know, that's why I ask a lot of people. Like, nobody, I have to start with a title, or I got no fucking focus, but, like, nobody does this shit. But anyway, what about improvisation? Do you leave spaces open? Obviously, you improvise when you're coming up with this, when you're cooking it up, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
John, when we play live, John takes a lot of liberties in the drums and pulls the time and does all sorts of interesting stuff. My singing and my guitar is pretty much locked in. I don't vary too much.
Even with solos?
No, I don't. I don't really want a solo. You know?
No, they're kind of. Really
I'll write little melodies, but I don't.
They kind of remind me of the pop group guys. Yeah, it's that. What was his name? Wilco Johnson. Do you remember this guy?
Ooh.
He played weird guitar. It's like this. It was like in the 70s, right? Dr. Feelgood. It was an R&B band. And the pop group guys, and I think later the Gang of Four guys kind of copied. It was a trippy, and you maybe without even knowing it, you're kind of in that school. D. Boone was really influenced by these cats because they were really, it's a percussive way of playing guitar. And you know, in the old days, the guitar was in the rhythm section. It was just bass and drums.
Yep.
Piano, too, was there. So what's the next? Where can people find you on the internet?
Bandcamp is probably the best place. It's papermice.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
And what's also the next on our plan? Instagram. Sorry?
Yeah, those corporate sites they can go to. They'll find you over there. But I want them to get right to your music so they can hear it, you know, because that's the dealio. What's the next plan?
What'd you say?
What's the next plan?
Oh, plan.
PLAN, sorry.
Yeah, okay. We want to play again, but we're kind of waiting for this thing to chill out, the little Delta thing. Yeah.
Of course.
We're taking it slow on that front.
Because this record just came out. You're not writing for the next one yet, are you?
Not yet. No.
Okay. But when you do and you record it, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it?
Oh, yes, please.
Absolutely.
It could be all up to the moment. We don't have to end any of that background story about, you know, having to see the alternative rock show and shit. Yeah, yeah. It's been a big honor to have you guys aboard. Love what you're doing. Please keep on keeping on.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
People, it's been September 7th, 2021. Just WAP Pedro. So keep your powder dry.